Yud Beis Mar Cheshvan, Wednesday the 9th of November, Rabbi Yanki Wiesenfeld, Minhag Bells.
Two brief words of introduction. The first thing is that this shiur was supposed to be given earlier in the year on the Yontzeit of Mashbez, which was a Chof Alef year, and the shiur is in the Nishmas Mori Vachomi, Rabbi Freud official, Bernard Yoel Aryeh, Agarena Vizhintse and Nishka Belza, and he was happy with all other Chassidus as well. But at the time I gave way to another speaker who wanted to speak on that particular day, and I think that Mashreis Zecharei Bracha was a kind and considerate man, and I think that's what he would have approved of. So this shiur will be Le'il Nishmasoi. The second thing I want to say is that the shiur is actually a shiur that was born in Torah Way, because I first noticed the subject and started looking at it when we were together learning Hilchos Sefer Torah 2 years ago. And it was then that we discussed it very, very briefly, but that triggered the thoughts and I started looking in a little bit more detail, and therefore really Torah Way has Torah Way to thank, aside for the shiurim that we're learning before Torah Way and the shiur Torah Way itself. One of the Ovos Malachas of Shabbos, a Malacha Doraisa, is the Malacha of Makeh B'Patish. I think in the list of 39 in the Mishnah, it's number 38. And briefly, the Issa of Makeh B'Patish...
Not the last one.
It might be the last one. I think Havor is the last one, but I could be wrong. Carrying is the last, I think. But anyway, I stand to be corrected. I stand to be corrected on everything that I'm saying. I'm quite happy if anybody wants to call in or phone in, but... The fact is that Makeh B'Patish is a Av Melocha. And the Av Melocha of Makeh B'Patish is to finish something off which is incomplete.
38.
Thank you. To complete something which is incomplete, or if something is broken, to make it fit for use by repairing, by doing that final action. And Chazal were worried that one of the things which is a Makeh B'Patish is to fine-tune a musical instrument, to finish off something in such a way that you can use it well. If you produce music from a musical instrument which is tuned, which is correctly adjusted, then you're going to end up with music, and if not, it's going to be painful to listen to. And therefore, they were so much worried that a person might be masakin klei shiur, that there's a Mishnah in Be'o, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Base. The Mishnah says, Kol shayavin oldeh mishum shvus, that any Issa Jerabonon, apart from those obviously involved in Oichel Nefesh, but an Issa Jerabonon, which is also on Shabbos, equally also on Yom Tov, and then the Mishnah gives examples, for instance, these are Issuri Jerabonon, these are where the Rabbonon instituted, they wanted to ring fence the Melacha Doraisa in order that a person should not do an Av Melacha, and therefore they introduced gezeiros, they introduced decrees for various reasons. Lo'oilin ba'ilion, the issa of climbing a tree. Lo'rech min al-gabahema, the issa of riding an animal. Lo'shavstah b'nei ha'mayim, the issa of swimming. On Shabbos hu'adin on Yontif. And then it says, v'lo'y metapkin, they gave an issa to clap. V'lo'y mesapkin, an issa to slap. We'll see we'll explain it in more detail in a minute. V'lo'y meraktid, and the issa to dance. Therefore, the Mishnah is saying that on Shabbos you cannot clap, slap, and dance. Slapping pashtus means, according to the Mefoshim on the Mishnah, that they used to do so in some way. They used to slap their thighs on the side like that in order to create a beat. So whether you're clapping with two hands together, or clapping between a hand and another part of the body, or dancing, also on Shabbos, also on Yom Tov. Says, and that's brought down then in Halacha. It's brought down in Halacha, Shin Lamates, in Hilchos Shabbos. And the Mechaber brings down, a Metapchin Hakos Kaf al Kaf, he says quite clearly, you're not allowed to clap on Shabbos. V'lo Mesafkin Hakos Kaf al Yorech, or to slap the side. V'lo Meraktin, Gezero Shema Yisakin Kleshia. Because if you create a beat by clapping and slapping and dancing, then you might then want a musical instrument. If you want a musical instrument, it might not play properly. If it doesn't play properly, you might adjust it, and therefore you'll come to a malocha of Makeh B'Patish. And therefore he says, and then he continues, V'afila lahakos be'etz ba'ala karka, what about tapping on the ground? Oy ala luach, or banging on a table? Oy achas k'neged achas k'nerech hamashorin, or to snap the fingers like that? Or lekaskos be'egos l'tinoik, or to wave a rattle, to wave a rattle for a baby. or to use some sort of it says a bell of some sort in order to calm the child. It's quite clearly a mechaber, which is based obviously on the Mishnah that we're talking about. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchoso, in order to move forward towards the halacha, says that in order to understand this gezerah of Shema Yisakin Kleshir, he says the gezerah splits itself into two categories. It depends whether you're using an instrument or a musical instrument, something that was designed in order to create a particular sound, or you're using something ordinary, a household item, in order to create a noise which could accompany music. He says as follows. He says, those things where something was, and he gives the examples, for instance, of a whistle, or a bell, or a tuning fork, and obviously a musical instrument. So he says as follows. He says, where the keli was designed in order to create a note, a musical note, or create a particular sound, in order to accompany music, like the whistle, like the bell, like the tuning fork, like the piano, or any other instrument, then he says to create even one sound, to press the key of the piano once, to create one note, is an issa of Shema Yisakin Klesha. But he says, on the other hand, if you aren't using something that was specifically made in order to create a musical note, but nevertheless, you can use that in order, or it conceivably could be used to accompany music. He says, for instance, he says, Hu adin, he says, Kol dova she'be'ez rosoi efshel hashmi'a koil, it's possible to make a noise with many other things. Ubechlalze, he says, Deles, to use a door to make a noise. Slamming a door, if you were in theory slamming a door, we'll see to a beat. Chaloin, or a window, or the floor. He says, then you're allowed to do it shaloi b'derech shir. To make a noise is mutter, using ordinary household items or even parts of the building in order to create a noise is mutter. But you're not allowed to do it b'derech shir, i.e. to create a regular beat, to create a rhythm with it. So he gives a couple of examples which are interesting. He says, for instance, somebody who is a public speaker, and he's at a Sheva Brochus, or he's at a Bar Mitzvah on Shabbos, and he's trying to draw the attention of the crowd that they should. He's about to speak, and he wants to quieten everybody down. Then he says it's mutter for him to take a spoon and to tap on the side of a glass in order to create, because he says that's just the noise that you're making in order to draw the attention of the crowd. It's not musical. It's not made for that. You're using ordinary household objects. On the other hand, therefore, he says, it would be mutter to do that. He says, but to do, for instance, the same thing, tapping regularly with a spoon on the side of the glass with the music to a beat, so that would already be a problem. He says, similarly, he says, yeshiva bochrim, who have the obligation of going around in the morning waking up everybody, yeah, it would be mutter for them to go to the kitchen, take two frying pans, a couple of pots or whatever it is. I'm not going into the issue of mukzah, that can also be overcome. But we're talking about from the point of view of Hashmas Koil, just to go around from room to room, smashing these pots together in order to create a loud noise, in order to wake people up, says that's mutter, because that's not a musical sound, a rhythm or a beat that's been made. Says similarly, he says you're allowed to bang on the door, in order to ask somebody to let you in, and even to use a key to bang on the door. In other words, in order to tap on the glass of the door with a key so that people inside can hear, in order to that people should let you in. Again, it's not musical, it's not a rhythm, it's not a beat, it's just a noise that you're making using ordinary household objects, and therefore parts of the house itself, and therefore that's okay, providing that you don't do it to a beat. Sorry? What about clapping? Well, that's our problem, yeah? Alright? He says, also, you can knock on the door. What? Pash just the knocker on the door. I think, I don't want to pass the halachas here. I believe, logically speaking, following the same thing, you can use the knocker on the door as well. It's made to make a noise. It's not made to make a tune. It's not made to make a beat. If there would be a knocker on the door and the people are singing Sheva Brochas and you use the knocker to go dum 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 to a regular beat, then maybe you've got an issa. He says, therefore, also lidvek al hashulchan, this is shmir shabbos kelchosa la halacha. It's also to bang on a table, beketzev mesuyim b'shas, to bang to a beat whilst people are singing smiris, for instance. Yeah, he says it's also loy b'keli v'loy b'yad. You can't use the glass and you can't use your hand. We'll see. We have to discuss because these seem to be things which are lechoyra also in halacha, which we all do, and we have to understand that. He says, "V'gam ein lahakos lefi ketzev." Says the Shmir Shabbos, "You're not allowed to beat you're not allowed to bang according to a beat, but regel al haritzva, to tap on the floor to a beat, kedei lahanim es hashira, in order to improve the thing." And the problem is that, as you've all said, according to this, you can't dance, you can't clap, you can't bang to a rhythm, you can't make a sound out of an instrument. Right, and lechoyah, these are things that we do on a regular basis in various situations. And therefore we have to understand there must be a heads up. I heard a story in Mepi HaShmua. I haven't seen it in print. Excuse me. But other people have also heard it, that the Imre Chaim, the father of the Vision Rebbe, Shtav Refuah Shleima, the Reb Chaim Meir, the Vision Rebbe from before, was supposed to have had a discussion with the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish at the time asked him to make two improvements in religious life in Kiryat Vizhnitz. The Chazon Ish lived in Bnei Brak. Kiryat Vizhnitz was on the fringe there at the time. And he asked him to make two improvements. Number one, he asked him that they should cease using the electricity from the national grid in Israel on Shabbos, because he was worried that he would be benefiting from Melech HaShabbos, from work that was done by Jews on Shabbos, and therefore that they should introduce their own generator. And he said the second thing is that he asked him that they should cease clapping during Bo'yev HaShalom on Friday night during Kabbalah Shabbos. And the story that I heard was that the Vizhnitz Rebbe is supposed to have said to him, to the Chazon Ish Rebbe, he said, on the generator I can concede, but clapping on Bo'yev HaShalom, he said, that doesn't come into question, we carry on. But we have to understand, if we carry on, what's the answer? And I want to actually quote you a beautiful lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is speaking, if we have the time, which I doubt, we can go into it in greater length, about Chazonim who use a tuning fork on Shabbos. And he says he also speaks about Chazonim who repeat words, etc. And in that paragraph, he uses a very, very beautiful lashon, I think. He says, "Ubehechrich, we are obligated lelamed zchus to find merit in those people who do these things." He says, "Ki chalila loyme," he says, "God forbid that we should suggest ki klal yisrael yikosh lebeisushus, that consistently klal yisrael through the generations." He's talking there, as I said, specifically about Chazonim using tuning forks, but in Orthodox shuls. And he says, "Chas v'shalom," to suggest that klal yisrael for generations will be over isurid rabbonon in public on a regular basis. And in a Beis HaKnesses, in front of the Ribbono Yisrael, during Tefillah, are they actually going to do an Issa Derabbanan of Shema Yisach and Klei Shia by using a tuning fork? He says there must be a heter. And we've got to understand what our heterim are for what we do. So the first of the heterim is the remorse. And the remorse sounds at first glance like a defeatist attitude. The remorse says, "V'yeshoimim," says the remorse on the mechaber that we spoke about, today we do clap and we do dance today," says the remorse. This is going back, what, 400 years in Krakow. He says, "V'loy machinim behu," and people do it and the rabbonim don't say anything. In other words, according to the mechaber, it's osa, and we seem to allow it to not to say anything. He says, "Mishum demutav shiyur shogigin." He says, it's a hopeless case. They're not going to listen anyway. And you find various cases in Chazal, legaba an issa drabonon, when they were considering introducing an issa drabonon, they said that if it's something that the olam is not going to keep to anyway, it's a gzeira she'en yecholim la'amod bo, then it's not worth introducing the gzeira, because all that will happen is that they will be continuing with an issa drabonon on top of whatever else it was. So therefore, he seems to say that Chazal were resigned to the idea that it would be better that Klal Yisrael are allowed to carry on in blissful ignorance rather than publicise an Issa Drabonon, and then they'll carry on anyway. That's one heter that's brought down in the Ramah. The second heter the Ramah brings down B'Shem Tosfos is, and I'm pretty sure I didn't dream this up. I saw it explained somewhere in the Sefer. He says, "Bizman hazeh," some say, he says, "V'yeshanim de bizman hazeh hakol shori." Today, it's all mutter. Why? Because we are not expert in adjusting musical instruments. I won't make a gezeira against the whole of Klal Yisrael that you might come to adjust a musical instrument. The way I saw it explained, I think I saw it explained in the Sefer, was that in those days, when somebody learnt to play and to use a musical instrument, it was like the soldier who was issued with his rifle in the army. The soldier who's issued with a rifle in the army is not just issued with a rifle and taught how to shoot. He has to know how to dismantle it. He has to know how to dismantle it, clean it, assemble it in 5 minutes blindfold. And he's told over and over again he has to do this many, many times until he can do it almost in his sleep, because he's told that his life might depend on the fact that this instrument, this rifle or his gun or whatever it is that he's using, is in good working order. And similarly, it seems that when a person was taught to use a musical instrument, he was also taught how to build it, how to dismantle it, how to adjust it, etc. And therefore there was a chashash that every single person who might use a musical instrument might also be Masakin Kleshia. But over the generations, people learned how to use instruments, and then there were specialist people who would repair them, who would fix them, attune them, etc., etc. And therefore, that's not such a chashash, that if somebody starts using an instrument on Shabbos, it doesn't work properly, and therefore he won't be repairing it himself, he won't be adjusting himself on the spot, he'd have to take it on Monday morning when the piano tuner opens, etc. So therefore, that's not such a chashash, and therefore he says, "V'efsha therefore no'ogu l'hokel b'koil." Therefore, the minhag arose that one is mekel in that case. The third heter that we have is a heter of the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it down b'shem the Mogen Avraham, and it's a very, very limited heter. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah wants to know, if you're not allowed to dance and clap, then what are we doing on Simchas Torah? We just learned that everything that's also on Shabbos, Mishum Shavuos, also on Yom Tov as well. So he says, on Simchas Torah, people dance and people clap, Lichvoid HaTorah. Where's the heter, Lichvoid HaTorah? So he says, V'yom Simchas Torah, Mutal Arakid. He says it's mutter to dance b'shor shayrin kulus in the Torah, mishum kavoy da Torah. He says why? He says kivid the less b'zeh ele mishum shvus. It's only a drabonon, and because it's only a drabonon, they were mutter that drabonon lichvoyd ha Torah on simchas Torah. He says avol. He still says b'shar simcha shel mitzvah. If you're making a siyum or a sheva brachas or a bar mitzvah on the Shabbos, afilahoch kigoyim b'nisuin. And even if you're making a wedding, which they used to do, they used to have chuppas on Friday afternoon, the suda was on Friday night, he says, afilahochi osu. The only hetzer he gave to dance and to clap was on Simchas Torah, lichvoid HaTorah. V'gam lichvoid HaTorah, he says, and even lichvoid HaTorah. Ein kadai lahatir elo tipuach v'rikud. I'll allow you to dance and to clap. He says, v'loi kiskus papa moinim, but bells I will not allow you. Even for lichvoid HaTorah, on Simchas Torah, you can dance, you can clap, but you can't have any bells on the Sefer Torah. Yeah, the bezukim. Kol shkein shah klei shir navadi, you can't play music to also lichvoid HaTorah. So you've got a Mishnah Berurah which says there's muta lichvoid HaTorah on Simchas Torah. Now the Aruch HaShulchan asks on that even. It says that heter that the Mishnah Berurah brings down lichvoid HaTorah on Simchas Torah. Says the Chorah doesn't fit in with the normal rules of Chazal. Those who do the Dusha program, we've been learning them in the last few weeks. In order to be matir something a drabonon, normally you need a shvus, dishvus, and then something else, like a mokum mitzvah or a hefzer godon. You need a double drabonon. If you have a double drabonon, a shvus, dishvus, and you add to that a mokum mitzvah or a tzoyach or a hefzer godon, etc., then you can be matir a drabonon on a drabonon. Says here you only have a single drabonon. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan asks that here you only have a single drabonon, and therefore I can't understand why the Mishnah Berurah is matir to dance on Simchas Torah when it's only a single issa drabonon, which you haven't got a drabonon on top of a drabonon. Therefore he says even that heter he doesn't really understand. And finally you have a blanket heter, a large heter, from the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, and he says it misvora, I think, as far as I can see, it's his own svora. But he says, again, he's working backwards. He's saying, seeing as we know that we do clap and we do dance on Shabbos, therefore it must be mutter. It can't be that all of Klal Yisrael are doing something which is also throughout the generations. So therefore, what he says is as follows. He understands that the type of dancing, clapping, and slapping that Chazal were talking about was professional dancing, professional clapping, professional beat making, which would normally accompany music. Mm-hmm. He says when they used to clap, they used to have ways in which they did it to a beat. There are certain things that one can do. There are people who know how to drum with their hands and that sort of thing, right? Which could be done in such a way that it sounds almost like a professional beat. The same thing with the slapping. And he says the dancing, he says, is not the middle-aged shuffle that we do nowadays, right? Those people are sort of, you know, around the outside circle of the dancing at the chasna. He says it's talking about dancing to steps, to rhythm. It's tap dancing, it's the waltz, it's the tango, the foxtrot, whatever it is. Yeah, he says it doesn't specifically mention, but what he says is that the type of chazal, the type of dancing and clapping and these various things that chazal ushered were the type of thing which would generate you to say, I need music. And if I need music, I need a musical instrument. And if I need a musical instrument, it's got to work. Otherwise, it's not music. It's a cacophony. And therefore, he says that nowadays, the type of dancing that we have, and the type of clapping that we do, the type of tapping that we do on the floor, he says that is not the sort of thing that Chazal ushered. And therefore, Bizman Azeh, he said, the sort of things that we do should be mutter. That's what the Orach HaShulchan says. And that's quite a major heter for us. So therefore, just briefly, we've got four lines of heter. You've got the Magen Avraham in the Mishnah Berurah, which says l'chvoid haTorah v'simchas Torah will be mutter to dance and to clap. But the Orach HaShulchan is not happy with that because it's nisa drabonon b'makom mitzvah. It's not a double drabonon. You've got the Ramon in the name of Toisus that today we don't know how to fix musical instruments. The average person won't do that. Therefore, it's only a chashash, which is quite rare, that you'll actually take it to to somebody on Shabbos or Yom Tov to fix. And then you've got the Ramon himself who says Mutav Shir Shogigin. Chazal didn't introduce it because they reckoned the people wouldn't listen anyway. And the Orach HaShulchan says that Chazal only ushered professional noise making, if you like, with your body or tapping, dancing, that sort of thing. So now let's have a look a little bit at Minag bells in the light of our discussion. We learned in Simar Reish Pei Beis Yerodeah that Oroya Sefer Torah, that somebody who sees the Sefer Torah is mechuyev to stand and to watch the Sefer Torah and preferably to follow it until it returns to the Oran Kodesh, when the Sefer Torah is on the move. Brings down the Ramah, and the Ramah says, and similarly, Hashemea Koil Hanoise Sefer Torah, if you hear the Torah coming, even though you haven't actually seen it, nevertheless, says the Ramah, that you're chayav lamoid. Apalpi she'en aroya oisai, you're chayav lamoid. Says the Taz on that, at the side, and we did learn this at the time. The Beis Yosef may be Mishrein Hara Monoyach. The Lachain Noag Rulas is Pamoinim. From there came the Minag to put bells on the Sefer Torah, in order that you should hear the Sefer Torah coming, and if you're aware that the Sefer Torah is on its way, then you can stand up. Lichvoid HaTorah. He says the, and that's the, what's called the Beit Yosef, in the name of Rabbeinu Manoach, who was a Rishon. So it goes back quite a long way. Says the Taz, I don't think that's a good idea. It's a very good idea to do for the weekdays, but those bells are going to remain on the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. And if you pick up the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, and a bell is one of the things that we learned specifically, is an instrument which is made in order to create a specific note, a musical note. Therefore, you're going to get into this issa of Shema Yisakin Kleshia. He says, what about the heta that we said, that maybe Bizman Azeh, the Ramon said, it's all mutter, because today we don't know. He says, therefore, the Taz says, no bells on the Sefer Torah. Rabbeinu Manoach, the Beis Yosef say, good idea, bells. Says the Ramah, says that even though the Ramah said the Bizman Azeh Kol Shori, the Bizman Azeh, we do allow it because we don't know how to do it. Kol Mokum, he says, clearly according to the Mechaber, it's also. It was the Ramah who said Bizman Azeh may be okay, but the Mechaber said it's also. So therefore, we don't need bells on the Sefer Torah. It's not sort of a compulsory thing without which you can't use the Sefer Torah. So therefore, excuse me. He says, therefore, why shouldn't we follow the Lechatchila and not have bells on the Sefer Torah? And that's the psak of the Taz, that we should not have bells on the Sefer Torah. Excuse me. Says the Shmir Shabbos Gilchosa, he brings down, that nevertheless, the minhag is that we do have bells. And of course that is the minhag in our, what's it called, our Paramonium Shal Sefer Torah, says in Shmir Shabbos, or Elatash Shaloi, or bells which are hanging off the choshen, the plate at the front, even though they were made in order to create the sound so that you can hear the Sefer Torah coming, because they are a Tzorich Mitzvah. And the kasha that, there are two kashas on this. Number one is, even if it's a Tzorich Mitzvah, it's not better, l'choira, than the Mishnah Berurah said about dancing on Simchas Torah. It's only one drabonon that you're being matir. And normally you need, b'mokha mitzvah, you need a double drabonon, a shvus dishvus. So therefore, it doesn't really help us. And the second thing is that he brings down a note at the bottom here from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says, I'm not 100% sure that that's called a Tzorich Mitzvah. There's about a chiv to stand up if you see the Sefer Torah, or if you hear the Sefer Torah. But actually, is it a mitzvah to tell everybody that there is a Sefer Torah coming? You call that a Tzorich Mitzvah in order to be muttered the ringing of the bells on Shabbos so that they will stand up. If they see it or they hear it, let them stand up. But to tell them that they must, or to notify them in advance, is that called a Tzorich Mitzvah? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says he's not sure. I wanted to simply suggest in the final couple of minutes that there are possibly two heterim that we can have for our bells on the Sefer Torah. One of them is halachadik a little bit, and the other one is simply practical. On the halacha side, what we've said is that a shvus dishvus b'mokam mitzvah is mutter, but a shvus b'mokam mitzvah, just one drabonon, is not a mitzvah, is not enough to allow us to do an isser drabonon unless you've got a double drabonon. The Shmir Shabbos in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos says that if you do a melacha kil achayad, a melacha that's done midaraisa, you'll only be chayav in those circumstances if you've done it in the way that the mitzvah, that the melacha was supposed to be done in the first place. But if you do it kil achayad indirectly, right, then it drops from a deraisa to a drabonon. So a melacha deraisa which is done kil achayad becomes done indirectly, it's not done specifically in the way that it was designed to be done originally, drops from an Issa D'Raisa to an Issa D'Rabbanon. And I was thinking to myself simply that the bells on a Sefer Torah, when the Mishnah Berurah said that you're not allowed to ring bells on Simchas Torah to accompany the dancing, he was talking about somebody who's holding a bell, and he's actually ringing a bell, and he's making a noise which will accompany the music, which will form music, like a cymbal, like a tambourine, or anything like that. Yeah? Then he said that it will never be matter, even lichvoid ha-sefer Torah, on Simchas Torah, to ring a bell. But here, a person who's lifting a Sefer Torah and carrying the Sefer Torah, he's not taking the bell in his hand and ringing a bell. He's lifting and carrying a Sefer Torah. The bell ringing, l'choria, is kilachayat. And so he's doing an Issa D'Rabbanon kilachayat. Right? He's ringing a bell indirectly by carrying a Sefer Torah which has a bell hanging off it. Right? And he's doing an Issa D'Rabbanon kilachayat. And there's a mokum mitzvah there, if you don't take on the argument of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. There's a mokum mitzvah there that the Sefer Torah should make a noise when it comes in order that we can be aware of it. Therefore, possibly there, I've got a double drabonon there. I've got the shvus de shvus because I'm doing an issa drabonon kilachayad, and it's the mokum mitzvah, so therefore that's possibly one heter. The second thing is, if any of you have ever examined the bells in a typical Sefer Torah, either on the crown or hanging off the what's called there, that bell doesn't make any noise at all. Many of them have got no anvil inside hanging anyway. And even if they have a very, very thin stick inside. And the noise that you hear, I think, when I'm just sort of speaking in practical terms, the noise that we hear of the Sefer Torah is not the noise of the anvil inside the bell ringing ding-a-ling-a-ling. What you're hearing is a lot of metal, right, rattling against metal. You're probably hearing more that the bells are rattling against the side of the crown right? Or you're hearing the yad which is rattling against the choshen, right? When you pick up the Sefer Torah, the sound that we're hearing is not the sound of the bells that we're hearing. It's the sound of the Sefer Torah, which is adorned with various pieces of metal, which are generally rattling. And therefore, we're not really making the sound of the bell, which should be the choyer osa, like the Mishnah Berurah was talking about when it comes to ringing a bell in order to create a sound, or rattling like the Chabad speaking in order to, or ringing a bell in order to calm a child. And therefore, the choyer, it's not the bells that are making the noise, and therefore, mitzad that, and besides the fact that it's possibly a shlus to shlus b'mokah mitzah, because I'm carrying a Sefer Torah and the noise is kilach yad, plus it's an issur drabonon, therefore, the choyer, one can understand, sign halacha, and sign practical terms, why it should be mutter.
Very nice.